This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Local nonprofit SA 2020 released its 2018 Impact Report, tracking the city's progress in a number of goals for the San Antonio community. Targeting 11 areas, the report uses local data to measure whether goals have been met or on track to be met by 2020. Do you think San Antonio is on the right track? What areas are you curious about? What do you think needs to be shored up? How do you think San Antonio is measuring up? Call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by Molly Cox. She's the president and CEO of SA 2020. Karen Baines is the director of community impact for SA 2020. And Laura McCarrion is the executive director of community information now, CI now, and associate professor of management policy and community health at UT Health San Antonio School of Public Health. Welcome, all of you, to be here today. It's great to have you. So, Molly Cox, welcome back to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Hi, I've missed you.
I know. It's been a while.
It has.
Well, we're going to fix that. We'll be looking deeply into your report and
That's
all
right.
the data that you have, trying to see what is up with San Antonio, what is working, what seems to be falling short. So tell me about the report. What is the first takeaway that you have?
The first takeaway is that it's bigger and filled with more information. We're going to say bigger and better, right? It's a printed report that we gave out yesterday at our luncheon, 154 pages of information, 61 indicators, vision statements, impact narratives. And the best thing I think that we can offer as well is that we mirrored this report into our website. So you can literally go to sa2020.org and see the report in a new interactive resource that was donated to us by a group of tech-savvy wizards who wanted to just make it easier for people to see the information.
So when they say when you have a goal, you have to come up with some metrics to make sure that you are meeting those goals, you're finding some progress, and then when you start seeing like, hey, this is working, let's do more of that, or this isn't working, why isn't that, let's dig into that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some people have that in there, and hey, what's I want to lose weight, you know, eat less ice cream, hey, I'm losing weight, let's do more of that. So in San Antonio, we have goals, mm-hmm. things like improving quality of life, education
sure.
attainment, getting more people out of poverty, bringing better jobs to San Antonio, increasing our mobility. What's happening? What's in your report, and what do you see as the bright spots?
Yeah, I mean, there's some great spots, right, where we can look at and point to very creative solutions that our community has come together to really establish. The idea of first deciding where we want to go is important, right? What are the results that we want to see? And then how are we tracking that to determine whether or not we're getting there? You perfectly sort of highlighted the way in which SA 2020 works. Is this working? Is it not working? How are we pivoting? And it's a constant, continuous movement. We never really reach the end so much as evaluate once we get where we think we want to go. 70% of the community indicators we're currently tracking are doing better today than they were when we started. Bright spots like teen pregnancy rate down almost, well, the latest information has us down quite a bit, actually. And it's that rate, that goal had increased multiple times. High school graduation rates have increased exponentially. We're seeing some fantastic movement also in across the board, specifically in arts and culture, in attendance, in people's satisfaction with what we're being offered in our community. We're also seeing some major movement in community safety. So one of the first goals we ever met was police and fire response times coming down by quite a bit. And again, it's in the eye of, hey, we're going to put this forward, show you where we want to go, and then ask you how you can create impact in that space, right? So programs, efforts, institutions have really sort of redesigned or thought about the way that they're delivering programming. We highlight very specifically in our report different efforts across the board that are really moving the needle. Things like San Antonio Works that puts high school school students inside industries that need more talent. We highlight organizations like Move Texas, who has one of the most successful young voter registration turnout efforts in the nation, actually. We highlight organizations like SAYC, who you would think is a creative youth development organization, and that's it. Only they're really helping also influence housing policy and thinking through transportation options. And even organizations like Connectability at Warm Springs, who work with people who need better access to streets, sidewalks, transit, and how they're really influencing that as well. So the idea is, how are we meeting the needs of our community, and what are we really doing? And what we're seeing is, as we transparently report on the progress of our community, more and more people are able to see where they can jump in.
Kieran Baines, Director of Community Impact for SA 2020, what do you see as the big takeaway from the 2018 report?
I would say what I'm most proud of at SA 2020 is that we are not only sharing the progress that we have made as a community, but we are also elevating the work that remains. I'm also most proud of the fact that in San Antonio, as someone who grew up here in this community, we are the only large city in the entire country that has a community vision that was written by folks who live here, that we have a nonprofit organization, SA 2020, that is responsible for driving progress towards that vision and holding the community accountable for that progress. And then on top of it, like Molly is mentioning, we also then have companies, foundations, nonprofits, government, over 160 SA 2020 partners that have made a commitment to aligning towards that vision. So within this report, we can point to the progress we have made, and we can also be really honest about the work that remains. We yesterday and throughout this year in this report are elevating five very specific complex community challenges that will require intentional partnership and coordination across sectors to continue to do better. Those five include, beginning with early childhood, we know that we have work to do when it comes to everything from infant and maternal health through third grade reading. We are elevating and paying close attention to college readiness and workforce development. In addition to mobility, when we say mobility, we are talking about access to green spaces and parks, as well as public transportation and alternative transportation. Throughout the report, there is information about our commitment to, for example, Vision Zero, a nationwide initiative that is calling for zero traffic fatalities. And we know that there is work to do here in San Antonio. We also know that if we look at our population growth, our goals that we have written from the start of the community vision are quite ambitious, and Laura can speak to this as well. So when we put that within the context of how much our population is growing, we can still, there is within that something to celebrate that is incremental in our work. In addition to mobility, we are also elevating affordable housing, recognizing, just as it says, that everyone in our community, all of our neighbors, should be able to afford the homes that they live in. And fifth, Molly, what am I missing?
You said college readiness and workforce?
Yes.
Family violence and child abuse.
That one, family violence and child abuse.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear more about these areas in depth. And we'll also dig in a little bit deeper into what does this say about San Antonio and our population. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the impact report for San Antonio for 2018. What do the numbers tell us about the direction of our community? Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the new impact report, the 2018 report, looking at San Antonio, breaking down certain areas about San Antonio, what's working, what's not. The numbers are there. What's San Antonio statistics telling us about the job that the city is doing for us individually and as a community? Let's go over to Laura McKeerian. She is the Executive Director of Community Information Now, CI Now, and she can tell us more about what the population numbers tell us. And what are the trends here?
I would point to a few different indicators. I'm going to hit some bright spots first. teen pregnancy, Molly mentioned that one. We know that that number has gone down tremendously locally and across the nation, and almost all of our progress has been among girls of color. So we still haven't closed the gap between girls of color and white girls, but making tremendous progress there. Health insurance, that's an example of a place where if you make policy change that enables local efforts to succeed, and then you have local efforts to enroll, you can really increase those rates. Voter turnout is up, not just in certain voter election precincts, but in precincts across the county. Registration and turnout are up. High school graduation, I know that's a slow curve. Mm-hmm. We're only at 87%, and you know, which 13% of our kids are we willing not to have graduate? None. But I think it's important to remember those are the highest high school graduation rates we've had in the history of our country. Renewable energy, water use, recycling, we made progress on all of those, and I think those are examples of places where it's a relatively get-your-arms-aroundable mm-hmm. issue, but it does take individual behavior change, so it's not like it's a slam dunk. I think the most important things out of this report, in my opinion, always the value of this report and SA 2020's work overall is to mobilize action around the information. Data-informed being is not something we really care about. data-informed action is important, and these conversations can be sparked by what's in this report. We did a lot to disaggregate the data this time by race, ethnicity, by council district to allow people to see where there's disparities.
So we have a lot of national trends as well, you know, looking at our low national unemployment and other issues that we wonder, is this some of the successes that we're seeing in San Antonio as a result of national trends or things that are being developed locally, Laura?
Yeah, of course it depends on the indicator, but I agree. There are some things that are getting better nationally that we mirror that trend. I think it's also important to remember that we're taking a snapshot of our city year after year. We're not following a cohort of individual people. So our performance on these indicators is influenced a lot by who lives here from year to year. And we have tremendous in-migration right now. We have a growing population, not just from births, but from people moving in. Those people, by and large, are better educated and higher income than our native-born residents. And so I think it's important to make sure that, you know, those folks don't get left behind.
Any areas in San Antonio that y'all have noticed, any one of y'all maybe can answer this question, that San Antonio is beating any sort of trends that we're showing some sort of reversal, like what we're doing is showing some sort of success? I saw that our diabetes numbers have gotten better on the 2018 impact report. That seems to be counter to what I'm seeing nationally. Molly Cox.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things that we can point to. I know we keep going back to teen pregnancy and the teen birth rate. Across the nation, the teen birth rate is going down. So San Antonio, Bexar County is sort of mirroring that trend. But our the gap for us is lessening, right? So where we were number one in teen pregnancy rate in 2010, what we're seeing is that we're closing the gap on that national number. And I think, again, there's something to be said. Kieran mentioned it earlier. Being this large city with a very serious community vision, we've shared goals together. Knowing that we are all working towards the same goals sort of generates a desire to collaborate better, to really hold each other accountable to the goals that we've created, which makes sitting at the table, various different industries sitting at the table together to really create an idea. Is very important. We've seen people sort of point to San Antonio. Robert Woods Johnson Foundation recently pointed to San Antonio as a community of health because we have made a commitment, right, to being a healthier community. We've seen foundations like the Lumina Foundation point to San Antonio as a collaborative space for increasing not only college enrollment and college attainment, but workforce development. And that's because industry leaders and and colleges and universities and policymakers were all sitting at the same table saying, we have got to be better at working with our homegrown workforce. You know, Laura mentioned a couple of things I think that we highlight very specifically in the report, this idea of these sort of trends of we're the second best city, I'm putting best in air quotes, second best city for college educated millennial growth. At the same time, we are number one in income segregation, right? We are growing by about 66 people every day. So our population is going, becoming so much bigger. We're going to double our population probably here in the next 20 years. And yet one in six of us live in poverty, right? Those two things are happening simultaneously in San Antonio. And I think sometimes we get stuck in the snippet story and we don't tell the complete story. And our job at SA 2020 is to really sort of open up the conversation for more complex conversations.
And Karen Baines, as the Director of Community Impact for SA 2020, what is the community, how are they reflecting all of these numbers to you? How do you see it?
Yeah, it's exactly like Molly is describing. What's so fascinating is that the community developed this vision in San Antonio over 8 years ago now. And when we say that this report is bigger and better, it is because of the momentum that has been sustained and carried in that time from all of these different types of institutions and organizations that represent the full breadth of the community vision, whether it's health and fitness or education or economic competitiveness. There are folks that are doing work that touch all of those results.
And where the report gets, I mean, really interesting is when you do start looking at this is good. This we're showing improvements here, or this is not so well. So, what were your biggest surprises, Molly Cox, when you looked at the 2018 report in positive and negatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's both in positive and negative, the fact that we do this every year, nothing really sort of shocks us. What we did do this year, and Laura touched on this a bit, this is the first year that we disaggregated some of our indicators by race, ethnicity. We also expanded our city council profiles up to about 20 different indicators. So you can see what your council district looks like comparatively, if that's the case. Being able to sort of look at different indicators next to, right? So if we're looking at voter turnout and we're also looking at educational attainment and housing and, right, like we start to really look at everything around digital access as well as employment status inside a council district, you really start to paint a better story of where you're living, what that looks like, how your neighbors are living. And I think that's sort of where SA 2020 is asking people to pay attention, right? The vision itself was not written for some people, right? We said we want educational opportunity and economic prosperity for everyone in San Antonio. How are we making that a reality?
You know, we see stories all the time that quote things like Wallet Hub talking about trends and which city is this and what city is that. And sometimes San Antonio is listed in some very weird lists. And people need to be better educated about how those lists are put together, and they look at weird data, and they don't really, and you're sort of like, well, that doesn't make any sense. It's because it's a bogus study, it's a bogus, and it's all clickbait. And you see some organizations in San Antonio use that data to further a bad faith argument about San Antonio's prosperity and how well we're doing and these certain things. So, but in your report, as you talk to people about these are the statistics that we have, and this is legitimate. I mean, do you feel like sometimes these other surveys that are reported in the news frequently that kind of muddy the water and make it difficult for people to understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish?
I don't know if I would say muddy the water so much as, like, I think people like to share when we can celebrate something, right? I think even we talk about it. We find it silly and also fun that the U.S. News and World Report says we're one of the best places to live. We don't disagree with that. We think San Antonio is the best place to live,
number
too.
Number six.
Just different, right? Like, it's just different.
Yes.
But I think, right, and that's what we keep trying to say out loud, we should absolutely be celebrating our progress, bogus news articles and lists or not. We should be celebrating. San Antonio is an amazing city. and we have work to do. Both of those things exist simultaneously. We should be celebrating and highlighting at the exact same time.
And so, Laura, with you're looking at the information now, and as people, as you dive into the numbers, trying to figure out how does San Antonio parse these statistics, how do we make sure that these numbers are being, where does the numbers come from?
Well, we try.
Is this census data? Or?
Yes. Census, yes. A lot of census data, but then a lot of local administrative data sets. So, you can imagine that the SAWS water use rates are with SAWS and not with census. Some of it is, to be honest, the best data that we have is really terrible. And the behavioral risk factor surveillance survey would be one of those. That's where the obesity and diabetes numbers come from. And if you look at the detail in the report, we show that there's a lot of uncertainty around those numbers. That's actually a pretty wide range that we're certain that the value is in. And those listicles that you're talking about and kind of gimmicky articles aren't going to disclose any of that typically. So I would certainly say it muddies the water.
Says the data lady.
But I think that part of the work of being a data-informed city is that we all get a little bit more data literate over time and get a little bit more critical about what we're reading and hearing.
All right. So here's a summary of the progress. We know that they met or exceeded the 20% on track, 16%, some progress, 34%, off track, 30%. So it's SA 2020. These are the goals that we want to meet by next year. It seemed like there's a lot of work to do.
There's a moment. I keep telling people this. The data runs about 2 years behind. So when we say, hey, we released a 2018 report in January of 2019, we're picking up data from 2015, 16, 17, and 18 at the same time. So even though we're saying, hey, next year is 2020, we should meet all these goals, we're technically won't have all of the data from 2020 until 2021, 2022, right? So our 2020 report will be released in January of 2021. We get asked the question all the time, so I'm going to say it out loud. We're not going anywhere in the year 2020, right? There is no other organization that's transparently reporting on this type of information, the way that we're reporting, as well as aligning and activating institutions across the city. So SA 2020, the nonprofit, is not going anywhere, but we are very much committed to, in the year 2020, coming back to the public and saying, hey, let's look at this vision again. Do we reaffirm it? Do we change some of the indicators that we're tracking? Are there things that we believe are missing that we need to be tracking moving forward? What else can we do to really hold our city, and our city meaning an entire community, accountable to the progress we want to see?
Right. And in goal setting with ourselves or as a community, not meeting a goal is not necessarily failure. We're not shooting for perfection.
Absolutely.
We're shooting for progress. Mm-hmm. And just because we're not going to get 100% of all these things met and exceeded,
right,
that doesn't mean that we actually fell short. But we are now we know where there needs to be extra efforts, needs to be resources. We need to dedicate attention and time to talk about these things and make sure that the community is involved and that we're not trying to tell everyone San Antonio is the greatest city in the world and just leave it at that.
Right.
We have hardcore data that will support that or undermine it and saying this is what we got to do in order to get where we want to be as a community. The number to call in if you want to join our conversation as we talk about the future of San Antonio, where we are on these important markers, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source is going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's future, looking at the data from the 2018 Impact Report. We've got a number of impact reports over the years that have looked at what San Antonio has accomplished at certain goal areas put together by SA 2020. We're joined by Molly Cox. She's the president and CEO of SA 2020. Kieran Baines, the director of community impact for SA 2020. And Laura McKerrion, she is the executive director of Community Information Now, CI Now. And so when we transportation seems to be something that people are really, really fixated on. And we look at what you're finding in the report, and it shows we're coming up short, Molly. What's happening?
I mean, again and again, right? This is not new. When we say mobility is one of the complex community challenges we really need to address, this isn't a new conversation. When we say transportation in San Antonio, nobody says like, oh, we're great. You know, it's been trending downward for years now. And in fact, there's a couple of things when we say mobility. We're talking sidewalks, we're talking access to parks and green spaces, so walkability, complete streets, and alternative transit use as well as public transportation. And this is an area, right, that as our community grows, we are going to have more pain points, more people on the roads, more people in cars. We're basically just, we just keep moving the belt loop out, right, like your little belt. We just keep making it bigger as opposed to, like, let's figure out how to stop moving the belt.
Stretch pants.
Right. We just move to yoga pants as our general.
That's the solution.
Yeah. So I think that's part of the challenge is that we're not thinking this through in a way that makes the most sense. And again, it's around density. It's around growth. Both of those things.
It's also investment and, you know, trying to get everyone on the same page. We've got all competing different solutions. People, they want mass transportation to become the solution for San Antonio. We get rail's never going to go anywhere in this town unless we have some sort of revolution. One of the bright spots in the report, we saw an increase in complete streets. Mm-hmm. But basically, it was up from like practically nothing to a little bit more than that. So it's even that is still sort of limited.
Of course. I mean, I think that's part of the conversation to have is that if we're putting out an annual report, we also have to understand that incremental change should also be celebrated, right? So even if something is only incrementally moving, it still shows progress. So if we're moving in the right direction, we should be applauding that and then doubling down efforts to see how we can make it even better.
Any indication on when does it really become a nightmare situation with their transportation?
I mean, it depends on who you ask right now. I think
I'm asking
some people
y'all.
Will. Yeah, like some people will already tell you it's a nightmare situation right now, right? Like somebody who lives further out trying to get into downtown, even people who live around downtown. I mean, Kieran mentioned earlier our desire to eliminate fatalities in our community as part of Vision Zero, which keeps going up. And of course it's going up because as we ask more and more people, Laura made this joke offline, but it was like, as we ask more and more people to get out and walk and bike more, because your health depends on it, and also our environmental sustainability depends on it, we're also putting more and more people at risk to be hit by cars, right? There's more and more people on our streets. So
we're hit by scooters.
Or scooters. Oh, scooters.
Yeah.
So I think that's happening again and again. And this is also, transportation is one of those really interesting spaces where we can talk about individual acts of change as well as institution and systemic acts of change, right? Our alternative transit use, meaning more people getting into a carpool or using alternative transit use, is going backwards. So that's an individual change that could be made right now. Commit to riding via or taking carpool with somebody you work with or taking a bike ride. At the same time, we have to be better at changing policies and programs to fit the needs of our community, and we are not doing that.
But your report is an important indicator in that we hope that our community leaders and elected leaders, ones who help manage a multi-billion-dollar budgets, are able to look at these things and saying, you know, it's not just rhetoric. This is something that the community cares about. And Kieran, you're hearing from the community on these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime that we have seen progress made in our community, including what we are talking about today, from teen pregnancy to voter turnout, that progress has been made with a recognition that all of these things are interrelated. So if we do better in transportation, from complete streets to alternative transit use to reducing our traffic fatalities, we know that folks then are going to be safer when they're getting to work or getting to school. So it has to do with community safety. It has to do with education. It has to do with economic competitiveness. All of these things are interrelated.
And better air, so better health.
Of course. And there was a great sort of story yesterday. Via Transit is now offering free rides to Alamo College's students who present their IDs. Like, what a fantastic program to not only increase public transit use, at the same time also help in college readiness and enrollment and attainment. Because if I can get to school in a safe passageway, I will be better at finishing my schoolwork and getting through college.
Let's go to the phones with Alice. The number is 210-614-8980. Alice, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I have heard y'all say some things that kind of answers my question. I attended the meetings back when, the 2020 meetings for the community, and I've heard y'all say environmental sustainability, better air, better health. So I'm wondering if y'all are tracking awareness of climate change.
All right, Alice, thank you for that. Mayor Bloomberg came to San Antonio recently, pointed out that San Antonio is one of the better cities when it comes to dealing with climate change, but still CPS Energy is a coal-burning power provider, and so some people are calling for an end to that. Where does all this come to? On your printed page.
Yeah, so we track 8 different indicators in environmental sustainability, and we're actually seeing progress in most of them. In fact, the one that we're not is increasing employment in green industries. So we are not putting people into the jobs in green industries that we need to in order to reach our goals.
So what kind of jobs are you talking about?
What's great about the report this year that we have done specifically because we wanted to make sure people understood it, when we talk about employment in green industries, we're looking at electric power generation, transmission and control, power and communication system construction, semiconductors, engineering services, testing laboratories. So these are very specific jobs that really help our green industries. And secondarily to that, what we've seen is a decline in those jobs. Alice's question was more specific, like, hey, generally, do we understand climate change, right? Like, what is awareness of general people understanding climate change? And I would venture to say that the more we talk about our job at SA 2020 is to really educate the public on our community vision. If we are going to be a community, right, that is recognized as a respectful steward of its natural resources and a model for responsible resource management, which is the community vision itself, it does mean more education on what climate change looks like, how we every day individually and institutionally can be making those shifts.
But so we had Mission Solar in San Antonio. They were promising all these jobs. And that didn't really happen, I don't think. We saw that there was a time when CPS Energy was in forward thinking and putting all these electric car charging stations around San Antonio, and some of those are no longer in existence. I'm wondering if we're falling backwards in that area. Sometimes, like, one good thing about your report is that we see news stories, and the stories are put out there, and a lot of promise, a lot of flash, little follow-up. This is a follow-up to what's really going on in San Antonio, and the numbers don't lie.
You're right. And I want to make sure when we talk sort of more specifically about increasing renewable energy, we're actually doing really well there comparatively for our goal, right? So we are increasing renewable energy across the board here in San Antonio. And I think, again, this comes back to, I cannot stress enough, we have got to be better at celebrating incremental change, right? So we don't say everything's gone and we're over, that we are reducing our energy rate. We are on track to reach the goal we put out, which is reducing weather normalized average kilowatt per hour per residential customers, right? All the words, word soup. We are reducing our energy use. So in both of those areas, we are doing better than we were when we started tracking. And that is something to celebrate. And it still says we have more work to do.
Let's go to Rob on the phone. Hi, Rob. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate this initiative being taken. But I think that we have systemic discrimination in this country and this city for many years. And the forgotten neighborhoods of the West Side, East Side, and South Side are undereducated. We have housing problems, and we keep our people of color mostly that way in order so that we can take advantage of them. I think we need to focus on that, education especially, and stop catering to the City Hall insiders that take the money for their benefit at our expense.
All right, Rob, thank you for the call. So the information in this report is broken up by city council district. That's one way to look at whether or not there is a level of systematic discrimination going on in the city with delivery of services or providing services. And so, Laura, are you able to look at that? Because you also broke down information by race and ethnicity.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, talk about mirroring a national trend. I mean, there is no city where structural discrimination hasn't been a huge driver of outcomes and how things look in present day. Our organization does do a lot more disaggregation of data by place, which in San Antonio is more, paints a clearer picture, I think, than even race ethnicity does. So how do conditions vary in different neighborhoods across town? And it's a critically important thing to look at. If you just measure the average, we're missing the most important piece of the picture.
Right. And so San Antonio has an opportunity to lead the way in this area. This is something that confronts every municipality in the country. We have leadership that says they want to break the mold and they want to become leaders in this. So let's, but they need community support and we need answers and we need data. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we come back from the break, we're going to see what's happening with domestic violence in San Antonio? Family assaults continue to rise. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis, looking at San Antonio's numbers, what's happening in the streets and the homes and the lives of the people who live here, our community. We have to have some sort of way to take the temperature of what's happening with different parts of the city, different areas. We have statistics, and we're keeping track of those and putting them in colorful little charts with the SA 2020 Impact Report, the 2018 version. Let's go to the phones. The number is 210-614-8980 with Maya. Hi, Maya. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to comment on San Antonio's one-time use plastic bags. In San Antonio, it's such a progressive and beautiful city, and we're dropping the ball on that issue. Yes, it is education, but if we were to partner with HEB and Walmart, just those two stores, HEB and Walmart, and promote people to bring their own bags or simply charge a penny for every plastic bag that needs to be issued. But you see the bags, you see them on the road, stuck on the shrubs, or you see them on trees, and you know they're going to end up in the ocean. I think San Antonio is really behind the ball on this.
Maya, thank you for the call. So plastic bags or other sorts of issues along those ways, Molly Cox?
Yeah, Maya, I appreciate that. And I think when we moved towards recycling plastic bags, one-time use recycling bags in San Antonio, that was a super step forward on the city's part. You can see in our report under environmental sustainability, the recycling rates in our community have actually increased exponentially from 19.2% in 2010 to now 32.3% in 2018. In fact, you can see as we've created charts that show that the tons diverted from the landfill and tons going into the landfill, that number is that gap is actually decreasing, which is really nice. So we're seeing a lot more people take advantage of recycling in San Antonio. So you're not going to get a complaint from me to say, yeah, agreed, one-time recycling or one-time plastic bag uses when we've got so many other things. And also, right, we are seeing some real change there.
So flat getting worse, domestic violence, the number of family assaults continues to rise in San Antonio. This is an issue that I think everyone can get behind if we can figure out ways to dedicate resources to come up with solutions. And Molly Cox, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I know we mentioned this a little bit earlier. We have some impact narratives within our report. We very specifically highlight two fantastic organizations who are doing some great work around decreasing child abuse and neglect, as well as decreasing family violence. So one of those organizations is Family Service Association, or Family Service, who has a Promotora program that's happening right now as a pilot program in Council District 5. And then there's a separate organization, Family Violence Prevention Services, who also operates the Battered Women and Children Shelter, who's also doing some amazing work in collaborative partnerships with Child Protective Services. In both cases, we are seeing those numbers not doing well. And that goes to, one, it's happening across our community. We know that it's happening in across San Antonio. And number two, we also know very specifically that adverse childhood trauma lends itself to long-term health challenges in our community. So it's one that if we can get in front of it as our population grows, we know we're going to see an increase potentially, right, in more than child abuse rates as well as family violence, because more people means more things to happen. So what we really want to do is stop the increase. Let's flatline that.
Right. So Karen Baines, were y'all looking at the police reports? What was the data source for all that? I mean, what were you, what is the community telling you about all this?
Yeah, what's really great in both of those impact narratives is that there are examples of individuals as well as institutions that are committed to affecting change. So in the Promotoras Child Abuse Program, for example, it is funded in part as a pilot initiative by our local government. It is also made up of community health workers who are neighbors working in their own community to end child abuse. So you've heard us say this over and over again, and it's throughout the report, is there are opportunities and access points and entry points for every single person in our community, whether you're a parent or a student or a neighbor or a lawmaker or a policymaker, to consider how policies and funding and allocation of resources can drive us closer towards the community vision.
And Laura, do you know where the numbers were able to be pulled from? Did that come from police reports?
Two separate sources, family violence from SAPD and child abuse and neglect from the State Department of Family and Protective Services, which are the ones that have the responsibility for largely doing something about that and tracking it. And child abuse and neglect is one of the ones that we struggle to measure because the number of reports really has not gone down over time. What's happened is that fewer of those reports are assigned for investigation, and fewer of those assigned reports, the investigation is completed. And if you don't have a completed investigation, you don't have a confirmed victim. So we're keeping an eye on some other measures there.
So Molly, when you talk about San Antonio as a tale of two cities, we have the prosperous, millennial, loving, you know, best city in America and all these other great things, best city for college graduates. And but then we also have the number one economic segregation, 1 in 6 live in poverty, and we have these startling statistics about domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Why isn't the rising tide lifting all boats?
Well, I mean, I think it's disaggregating data. I think Rob mentioned it earlier, this idea of, are we looking across the board at all parts of our community? And change doesn't come. We wrote this very specifically in our report, that change doesn't come without understanding how policies and services have historically neglected low-income communities and communities of color. That is real. And so if we are not transparently reporting on this information to show where we need more resources in understanding needs, and then we are meeting our community where they need us, we're not going to see change. So I think what we're starting to see very specifically by disaggregating this data, by seeing that the City of San Antonio government organization has made an explicit commitment to equitable services, right? So we're seeing them shifting the way that they're delivering services to our community. We see other organizations across our city also doing that. And that's really what it's going to take, is meeting our community where they need us.
And Sandra is on the line. And Sandra, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I live on the west side where there's off of Culebra, where we've already seen at least 5 new developments going in, and there's probably another 5 coming, thousands and thousands of homes. My question is, why are we not requiring builders to build in green, and i.e. solar shingles or solar panels of some kind?
Sandra, thank you for the call. So one thing about interesting about Sandra's call is that she lives on the west side where we're seeing all these developments mm-hmm. are popping up. Those tend to be not actually in the city of San Antonio. They're outside of the city. They're in a county where we're seeing tremendous growth. So the city can't require hardly anything out there. There's some ETJ requirements, but that's not something at that level, I don't think. But but these numbers that you're looking at, are they for municipality or are they looking for the county or how does that work?
The indicator that we have that's specific to that issue is projects that low environmental impact. I was trying to put two different sentences together there. Went from zero on baseline to four projects that qualify now with a goal of 10. So obviously a long way to go. Like everything else, this is a system where everything is affected by everything else. And we also need housing that's affordable. And we also know that unemployment is low, and so it's the labor market. It's expensive to get labor. It's expensive to get materials. So we've got all these forces pushing against each other that we've got to coordinate, I think, among a number of sectors to make that happen.
Right, but does the SA 2020 report look at San Antonio proper or the county or, you know, what?
Yeah, the San Antonio, San Antonio River Authority is just looking at San Antonio geography.
Okay, and to the question about requiring the solar panels, that's a big ask. Requiring hardly anything is going to be tough in Texas. There's a lot of attitude, let the market decide these things. But we are seeing consumers asking for better environmentally conscious design and homes because it makes economic sense for them.
It does. And I think, again, this goes back to asking people, how do you impact our community vision, right? So if you are an industry leader who is capable of producing solar panels and doing your developments in ways that make sense environmentally, why wouldn't you?
Right.
That's the question, right? And if you're not, how then are we holding our community accountable to its goals?
So in future shows, we're going to be having Molly coming back in future shows. We're going to be talking about a number of these issues broken down into the 2018 SA 2020 Impact Report. There are five complex community challenges for affordable housing, mobility, family violence, education, and workforce or early childhood. These shows will be coming up in the weeks to come. If you've got a question about any of these community challenges, we can ask you. You can leave a voicemail on our line at 210-615-8982, and we'll bring that onto the air at that time. And we'll be talking about all these topics in depth in upcoming shows. And so, Molly, I'm asking you again, what is the bright spot? What is the uplifting note that you can leave us on from this report?
San Antonio is seeing incremental progress. That's something to really celebrate. And it's also the only large city in the United States of America that transparently reports on 61 community indicators and holds our community accountable to its progress.
Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020. Corinne Baines is the Director of Community Impact for SA 2020. And Laura McCurian is the Executive Director of Community Information Now, CI Now. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and thanks for tuning us in.